Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome into Friday, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel, and you. Plenty to get into with Husker Hoops. A busy day for Nebraska basketball and the mayor. Some thoughts on Mike Gundy's future from a man that's on the inside down in Oklahoma. Dean Blevins coming up. Some recruiting with Greg Smith, our basketball insider, Jacob Padilla. Coming up, and it's the Pride of Fairbury time. Bill Dolman from NBC Sports set to join us in an hour. Hope your Friday is going well. You can join us today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Find us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio, Chris Schmidt at Herbal Essence for Elijah Herbel. And, of course, always follow and keep locked in on Hail Varsity's Twitter handle and ESPN Lincoln. So let's get to some basketball. And I don't think Chip Kelly is going to get a Father's Day card from his roster at UCLA. Elijah, you got your soccer shirt on. How are you?
Doing well. Tottenham's back in play today. I feel like a kid on Christmas morning all day.
Did well on Wednesday. Proud of you guys.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it.
Thank you. Which part of the show did you listen to?
Got the first 15, and I think I got the final 20.
I thought we had some fun topics to hit on.
It wasn't as much as making sure you're not setting fire, as in I just wanted to hear you two kind of back and forth it. So I appreciate you hooking that up. So programming note, best of tomorrow, Kranach out, you out, I'm at baseball. Assuming it doesn't turn into a swimming pool tomorrow morning.
That's my plan, too. I'm supposed to be out umpiring this weekend.
Yeah, so it's a little best of tomorrow, but plenty to get into. We'll hear from Mike Leach. We'll hear from Ron Brown. We'll hear from Mr. Schweitzer, the new linebacker commit. It was fun to chat with him yesterday. We are out to new Nebraska commit and part of Nebraska's basketball team, Elijah Wood. That just came down about 10 minutes ago. Rivals first to report that. Jacob Padilla going to be all over, just what Nebraska's getting. About 5 hours ago, you had the would-be guard that could really do some nice things for Nebraska basketball, Kobe King. He announced that, you know what, he's not going to be a part of the program. So let's start with Kobe, and we'll get to Elijah Wood, not the actor.
Unfortunately, that'd be
shortly.
Fun.
We'll get to Elijah Wood here in a moment, and he's a four-star guy himself. But what happened here is a little murky. What happened with Kobe King? He signed with Nebraska to transfer from Wisconsin. He's not going to be a part of the basketball program. He's deciding to step away from basketball for personal reasons. Now, it's not the first time we've heard that. You had a situation like that in football with J.D. Spielman, and Nebraska issuing a statement Friday with the news, and this from the mayor. Kobe King's informed us that he will not be attending the University of Nebraska for personal reasons. We respect his decision, wish him the best in his future endeavors. So King committed to Nebraska in February, played 63 games at Wisconsin, 20 starts, second leading scorer, 12 points a game for Whiskey, and had 10 points a game last year, 12 points a game during Big Ten play, shot 52%. Here's the thing about King that you felt good about for Nebraska. A, the guy's been through about everything and anything home and road for Big Ten. If you can play basketball at a high level for Wisconsin, that means you're good. That means you're a winner. That means you're tough. That means you're physical. And you know where Wisconsin's at. They're usually in the Sweet 16. Period. That's what they do. That's what their program's about. And they get guys that are kind of bought in with the development phase, because while Wisconsin can get some big time players, they make big time players. They get guys that are really talented, but they always kind of reach that ceiling of their talent through development. And we always talk about Hoiberg, his offense, the motion, the ball movement. And when it's hitting on all cylinders, it's a thing of beauty. And Fred's such a smart X's and O's guy that that'll be an advantage, not only from a recruiting standpoint. He can get high-level guys in here, but he can also out-coach you, okay? You combo that, bang. It's a bright future for Nebraska basketball. Very tough start a year ago. And you get a guy like Kobe King in here, and you were going to be able to mismatch it a little bit, and you've got a point forward in Banton that can kind of kick it out top, handle the basketball, and you have another guy that can handle the ball in Kobe King, presumably, but he can also go down and just post up guards at 6'4 and 210 and being as physical as he is. That was going to be nice to be able to invert the floor. Not a lot of teams can do that. Nebraska was planning on doing that. So Nebraska losing King, and that left an open scholarship. Never fear, Nebraska's banging the phones, and they got a pretty good player, it looks like, on paper here from Elijah Wood. So with Elijah, was going to be a 2021 recruit either to Tulane and then Rhode Island. He was set to play kind of a gray shirt season at Hargrave Military Academy, okay? He was going to go do a year of prep ball. So that is out the window, and Wood is now going to be a part of Nebraska's 2020 class with that scholarship of Kobe King leaving. Elijah Wood comes in, and with the reclassification, I mean, he chose Nebraska over some really name programs. That's Florida, that's Ole Miss, that is Providence, and the plan is for Wood to be in Lincoln on Monday, and that puts Nebraska back full at their 13 scholarships for 2021. And again, Rivals first to report this. What really sold Elijah Wood was the coaching staff and what they're really wanting to build. He wants to be a part of that. So you had Wood that was in on Tulane, was looking at Rhode Island. Texas Tech wanted him. You know how good their program's been recently. A&M and Auburn and Georgia and TCU, Kansas State and Ole Miss. So this is some high-level basketball programs that want him. I know K-State didn't have a great year last year, but they're not far removed from the tournament. A&M's kind of up and coming. Bruce Pearl down at Auburn, I mean, they've been a high seed team since he got there. Georgia is where Tom Crean is at. TCU has Jamie Dixon down there. And then you got Ole Miss that isn't that far removed from a tournament appearance either, I think a couple years ago. So, Matt Abdelmassi, man, put your Superman cape back on. And that was pretty cool. So we've got a text out to Elijah Wood. We are hoping a 440 time can work for him. We will see if that can happen. Some thoughts, Elijah Herbel, on this edition for Nebraska. In one fell swoop, I'm like, damn, this hurts Nebraska losing Kobe King. But, okay, you're getting another big-time talent, it looks like, in former four-star Elijah Wood.
Yeah, I mean, first off, great name. Great name. I applaud his parents for that one. They made a good choice. But, I mean, this is a guy that was at Rhode Island as of like a month ago, mm-hmm. month and a half ago. He's got talent, got the size. I mean, he's at 165 right now. You'd maybe think he needs to put on a little more weight. I need to actually get here and watch the film because this was just such a last-minute commitment right before the show. But on paper, looks like a good get, and it's 4 years instead of Kobe King was going to come in and play two, I think.
Well, and he needed the waiver.
Yeah, he needed the waiver.
Based on how he left Wisconsin, I would think from the racial slur that was used at Wisconsin, he would have gotten a waiver to play at Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. But I do believe he only had 2 years left.
You're right, yeah, because he had freshman, sophomore, mm-hmm. I'm out, sophomore year, come in as a junior, immediately be eligible per the waiver.
Yeah, and now Nebraska gets a guy that can come in and develop for 4 years. You talked about the development of the programs like Wisconsin and what Hoiberg's trying to build here. It's you know, nice to get a guy who can come in and play 4 years as opposed to, I mean, Kobe King you think would probably be an instant starter on this team this year, which hurts.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know that you're going to ask that of Elijah Wood, but what can you get out of him?
hopefully 4 years of development. That's that's what I'm thinking. Get better for 4 years and leave the program better than where you left it or where you came in.
Yep. So we'll see, and we'll get Jacob's kind of breakdown on Elijah Wood's film and see what he thinks in a busy day for Nebraska basketball. A tough day at Nebraska in general. I want to spend a couple of minutes on this before we get to Greg Smith and recruiting, and that is the budget cuts with the University of Nebraska athletics. It is tough. It is tough right now for many people. It is tough for a number of Americans with unemployment above 45 million. And you look at Nebraska athletics, they've got to reduce their budget. Their fiscal year begins July 1st. And cuts in administrative positions across the athletic department. If you're going to do 10% of budget cuts, the athletic department employs 350 people. So you do that 10% math, that's 35. And those are some good folks that have been there a while. We don't know who, but in my dealings, and it's just mainly been with sports information, but they're awesome, awesome folks, and they do such a great job. But everyone in the part of the athletic department's like a family down there, and that's where Dolman worked for a lot of years. So we'll get his take on this here in a little less than an hour. But when it comes to administrative positions here, you know, the budget in 2018-2019 was $81 million. Nebraska needs to shave off between $8 and $9 million. If you have that number, that same number for 2020-2021, and you got to reduce 10% of that staff, no merit increases for all department employees, no increases in all sports programming budgets, and programs encouraged to kind of build more regional non-conference setups. I know volleyball's canceled a trip out to Stanford. I know that their things were wiped away with their sand volleyball and a would-be Hawaii trip, so they've saved some money there. Nebraska's tried to schedule within the kind of the old Big 12, it feels like anyway, for baseball, when you look at the number of trips to Kansas State that they've had, your football schedule's kind of set up. But for basketball, Nebraska's going down to the Sprint Center this next season, next December, for a game against Kansas State. That's not a bad thing, scheduling or looking at scheduling regionally. And I know Nebraska volleyball has done Creighton, and they'll do some old Big 12 teams. But this just hurts. This is just kind of a sign of the times. And you've got an athletic department in Nebraska that, I mean, they are self-reliant. They've always been self-reliant. And the revenue they pulled in for 18-19 was $122 million. We don't know what 2021 is going to look like until the numbers are out. You know that the university systems as a whole have a $43 million budget shortfall. And it's all because of this stupid Rona. This just hurting folks, not only physically and mentally, but financially. And it's done that across the nation. And Nebraska athletics not immune. We don't know what the continued impact is going to be when you look at fewer fans. That's fewer dollars spent. Will it be altered TV money? We don't know that for this season. And quite honestly, with the number of cases that keep picking up, I mean, you have more and more. You had a number of baseball folks test positive. You have some positive COVID-19 tests in the NFL going on. You have a number of college campuses where kids are getting it. You have spikes all around the nation that are occurring. I mean, New York's doing okay, but Florida and Arizona are not good right now. Two of your projected sites for Major League Baseball if they get off their ass and figure out things. So it's kind of a tenuous time, which leads us to UCLA. And they've had 30 players, and most of them anonymously spoke out to the LA Times. UCLA football wants a third-party medical representative there to ensure that health procedures and practices are followed appropriately. They don't trust, and it sure as hell don't like, Chip Kelly. This isn't every player on UCLA's team. But Kelly had a virtual team meeting Thursday, said, all right, involuntary workouts, or I should say voluntary, voluntary workouts start Monday. And they're like, what the hell? Why Monday? Why are you just telling us Thursday night? And in fairness, the LA County Department of Health didn't green light return to action till Monday, but you've had Tuesday to Thursday to get word out. There's distrust for Chip Kelly because they feel out of the loop, per the LA Times article. There's not much to often communication by Chip Kelly. I can see that. I don't know Chip Kelly. I respect folks that have worked with him. I respect him as a coach. But is he a great communicator, or does he have somebody on staff that can communicate to kids? And is starting quarterbacks one kid that's like, look, we're not going to participate in a lot of these things you want us to participate in. We need a third-party medical representative. So there's no repercussions, A, if we don't come back, B, don't yank our scholarship if we don't come back. So this is UCLA doing this. There's going to be other college football programs that see what happened at UCLA today. And you're going to see other college football programs who don't really feel it with their coach make this same move. We'll talk some recruiting next. Greg Smith's with us on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back to you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. More on Elijah Wood coming up here with Jacob Padilla. 1 hour. Dean Blevins will sound off on that Looney Tune Gundy. We say hi to Greg Smith, recruiting insider, HailVarsity.com and magazine. Greg, please tell me you've got just some awesome barbecue planned this weekend.
I have something planned tonight. I think we're going to hit the Muchacho's food truck tonight.
Ooh, nice shout out there. It's not a paid endorsement, but he's right.
Yeah, it's not, but I apologize. But I mean, otherwise, for my wife's birthday a couple weeks back, we got a nice Omaha Steaks package, another shout out, with some bacon-wrapped sirloin. So I think we're going to do that tomorrow. So we have a pretty good weekend of good eats around here.
You too can have Greg Smith shout out companies on radio. Just contact HailVarsity.com. Is that okay?
There we go. I appreciate you saving me there.
You're good, man. Hey, okay. Chris Paul Jr., one of our favorite interviews. Really good linebacker, has seen folks closer to home say, hey, Chris, what do you think about Louisville? What do you think about Tennessee? What do you think about Cincinnati? Did you kind of feel this maybe bubbling for a while, his decommitment?
Yeah, I did. Only because he had, well, a couple of things. One, he's been pretty public about wanting to take other visits. And as you kind of think about it, Nebraska has not had that situation much at all, right? Like under Frost, like where guys have committed and then taken other visits. Like I struggle to think of one off the top of my head where it's actually ended up coming to fruition. And so that's just a little unique. And part of that is Nebraska and how they pitch guys and they don't like to pressure them. But part of it is those kids feeling really safe and secure about being in Nebraska's class. So knowing that he was very vocal about taking those visits, that gives you a little pause for concern. And then the one thing that I was always a little leery about with Chris Paul being in the class is he was just so different from the other linebackers that are in the class, especially the guys and the guys that inside linebacker that have come in recent years. And you think about Henrich and Keyshawn Green in the last two classes, and even you think of his classmates, Randolph Kapai and Seth Malcolm. Their profiles are different, but you could probably make that work because you do need a class Big Ten thumper in there as well. So for a few reasons, I kind of thought that he could be a guy to watch. Plus, you add all of that to the fact that we've talked a bunch about how this year is going to be different for decommitments, and it can't be different everywhere if Nebraska doesn't have at least one.
Greg Smith is with us at Greg Smith HV on Twitter. With Paul, listen, he loved the smash mouth style. I mean, that's what stuck out to me about the interview. He's a downhill run stopper. From a speed and athleticism standpoint, in your opinion, did he Did he stack up to what else Nebraska recruited? Or when I say different's not bad, but was he as athletic in your opinion? Not that he couldn't get there, but was he as athletic as what was coming in?
No, but he was a style of linebacker that a lot of teams in the conference went with, right? Like
right.
It's not a knock on him at all in that regard. He was just a little bit different than some of those other linebackers. And the linebackers that it feels like Nebraska is trying to move to in this defense, because something that has come up a lot, and it was very odd that it kept happening like in the last two seasons, where it felt like opposing Big Ten coaches were kind of keying in on Nebraska's linebackers, trying to get them in space. Mm-hmm. And really isolate them, and how frustrating that's been for Husker fans. And it feels like the coaching staff has really noticed that and has tried to change the model of how they recruit linebackers. So he was a little bit different than some of the guys they brought in recent class or have committed in this class.
Doing some recruiting recon with Greg Smith. Greg, Nebraska brought in a good class of linebackers, and even without Chris Paul in the class, there's still hope for the talent that's there. Is Nebraska satisfied with that group that they have? Or are they going to look to go and replace Chris Paul with another linebacker recruit?
I think that they both are happy with what they have. I think, especially an inside linebacker that's already on campus. And there's a host of guys. You have your two guys that are your projected starters, and Will Honus and Colin Miller. Then you have guys like Keyshawn Green, who I mentioned as a true freshman. But you have Nick Henrich, Garrett Snodgrass, you have all sorts of Bob Maga Clements. You have a number of guys. Luke Reimer is a guy that I really like. I think he'll go on scholarship and could play heavy snaps this year. And it's just about building that pipeline for the future. So what they have in the class right now, I am Malcolm at inside. I think that they are happy with what they have. I think that they will still try to replace Chris Paul to add one more inside linebacker. And I definitely think they're going to add one more outside linebacker in this class as well.
So a thought, if Paul still wants to visit, does Nebraska say, come on down, or is this just a breakup?
I would, man, that's a good way to phrase that. Because the visit thing is interesting, because if you get down the road and Nebraska has the visits available, because you would assume that they will, it would be something to have him at least come out for a visit, because they didn't get to take that official visit, but he did take an unofficial last year. But I don't think that that's what's going to happen. I think that Nebraska and Paul are kind of done, and he'll end up having a school that's a little bit closer to home for him.
What is Nebraska's policy? If you commit, you can't visit, or does it just depend?
I think that it's been an unstated rule, an unspoken rule, that if you commit, you're kind of done. And by that, we'll also be done at your position as well.
Sure.
Because I think that two-way street is the best way to go about it, because, hey, I'm being upfront and honest with you that I'm not recruiting anybody at your position. And there are a bunch of examples of that. Kind of the most glaring ones have been Luke McCaffrey and Logan Smothers, that quarterback over the last couple of years. When those guys committed, they did not continue reaching out to quarterbacks. Other positions are a little bit different, just because it depends on the numbers of guys that you need. But, yeah, I think they kind of have an unspoken policy about once you're in, but we'll also shut it down at your position, too, if the numbers allow it.
Greg Smith is with us, Recruiting Recon, Hail Varsity Radio. Find Greg on Twitter at GregSmithHV. So, Greg, I really love your Greg's guys. You run down a big-time list of kids, a top 10. Kind of Greg's board, you know, and give me a thought here on running back Tavier Dunlap. Get out of Texas. All he did is run for 3,000 yards last season, and the world is after him. Tell me a little bit where Nebraska stands with him, and do you feel, I don't know, where's the courtship at?
Yeah, I think that Nebraska is in good contact with Dunlap. And there's a good handful of Texas kids that Nebraska really likes this cycle. I know that that's been a focus for them this year, trying to get back into Texas. And I know you and I have both beaten that drum to death about Nebraska getting back into Texas. But he's a tremendously productive running back, also had 37 touchdowns in the last 2 years to go with those 3,000 yards. But he's kind of blown up over quarantine, where some kids have kind of had some issues during quarantine. team where they're not getting as many offers as they would have hoped for. Dunlap is kind of the opposite. I think he's picked up Notre Dame, Michigan, Mississippi State, and a bunch of others over quarantine. But Nebraska's hot after him. They really like him. And I think they're definitely showing him that he's one of their top priorities at running back.
Greg, another guy from Texas the Huskers are in on is Jalen Griffin. He's former teammate of Omar Manning down at Kilgore Community College. Any news on him?
Yeah, I think when I talked to Griffin a few weeks ago when he was kind of bursting on the scene on Nebraska's radar, and he does not have an offer yet from Nebraska. I think Nebraska will continue to see how things go with high school prep wide receivers to see how that goes. If they can get guys that'll be here for 4 years. But I think that he'd be a nice guy to add if you need to and you have some attrition in the room, because you always could use an older guy. Nebraska is just so young at wide receiver this year, but he's definitely receptive to Nebraska's pitch right now.
Greg, when we look at 2021, Nebraska needs a couple of running backs, and you've got guys like Dunlap, you've got guys like Barry, that are uber talented. Irvin's out of Georgia, and then you have Estime out of New Jersey. Maybe he's a Rutgers guy. But if you were to give me your top two out of the four I've named, how would you rank him? How would you rank him?
Man, it's tough because
do they all do different things, or is it just
They're similar. It's actually interesting because I think that they're all similar in that they all have pretty good size. They're guys that you don't think are going to take a long time to build their bodies up to be able to hit the field. I think Estime from New Jersey is probably the best guy out of that bunch, but I think he's the longest shot for Nebraska because I think he's really receptive to what's happening with Greg Schiano at Rutgers. But if Nebraska can get him on campus, all bets are off. I think that my top two realistic targets out of that group would be Dunlap, the running back out of Texas, and Gabe Irwin, the guy out of Buford, Georgia, I really like as well. I think he's got a really good size, balance, and speed combination. Nebraska has done really well. Sean Becton leading the charge down there in Georgia. He'd be a heck of an addition for Nebraska.
The film I like is, let me go back to Dunlap for a second. I mean, the guy's 6 foot. He's a big back. At 6'2", but my God, he can make a move and then he can turn the jets on. I mean, usually you just got a speed guy or you got a juke guy or you got a power guy. He's got the side to side in the north and the south. I mean, I like Dunlap a lot. We got to get the token Thomas Fedoni question now that USC and South Carolina offered.
Yeah, so my question is, I've not caught up with him about this, but it's at the top of my list to ask him, is as the guy who's the number one tight end in the country, when a team like, even a team like USC, really big name, right, great tradition, when they come in at this point in the game, like, what are your thoughts, right?
USC kind of like, has not thrown to a tight end since the Todd Marinovich era.
Right, that too. When Fred Davis caught a pass accidentally.
Good work on the Fred Davis call, baby. I love that one.
Right.
Davis sighting.
Fred Davis. Yeah, he was great on the old NCAA football video.
Oh, I love Fred, man.
So I think that Fedoni, I think that he likes getting these offers. Every kid does, and that's fine. I would be surprised if those schools kind of entering the picture now have a great shot. I still think that it's Nebraska or LSU right now. Again, you want to keep them away from that night game at Death Valley. But even so, I think Nebraska's in a really good position. They just have to continue with the pitch that they've had. And if it continues, if the recruitment goes into the season, which it probably will, some early tight end action on the field can only bolster Nebraska's chances.
Greg, last thought before we let you go, about 15 seconds. Nebraska got a walk-on commitment from a legacy, Baron Miles. You have anything on him?
What I have found on Baron Miles Jr. so far is that he's scheduled to play wide receiver. He is not a defender like his dad, but he definitely looks the part. He's a really athletic kid, well-built. He'll be walking on as a wide receiver.
Baron Miles Sr. is arguably one of my favorites. Love Baron Miles Sr. It's cool that Junior's making his way. Greg, fire that grill up this weekend. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Hey, thanks as always, guys. You have a good weekend.
All right, there he is. And we had a Fred Davis mention. Fred freaking Davis. More Hail Varsity continues.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's hilarious when you pull a name out of the air. from back in the day football. Usually it happens at fantasy football drafts. But Greg Smith with a gem. Remember Fred Davis or not?
I don't think I do.
Played the NFL 08 and played forever. And he was like just this giant. It's like he's Ricky. It's like the Ricky Dudley part two. Ricky Dudley was an insanely awesome tight end that always kept getting signed by Gruden. Wherever Gruden went, Ricky Dudley from Ohio State, first round tight end pick, kind of mid to late 90s. All right, that's Ricky Dudley. Fred was USC's tight end during the Bush era, right? Lendale Wyatt, Bush, Leinart, post-Leinart. And like the last time USC's ever used a freaking tight end to catch the football, literally, was when Carroll was there. And that's been ages ago. But Greg and I are just laughing. He's like, yeah, Fred Davis once caught a pass. Fred Davis beat the crap out of Nebraska defensive ends that fateful night game. Did you go to the USC game in 07? With game day?
I watched it on TV.
And you got to turn the channel and go cry.
Yeah, about like halftime. Yeah. I mean, because it was just like, they had lost a couple players from the national championship teams. Think, ah, oh, maybe there's a chance. But no.
Well, this was your get back moment for Nebraska football. Because was SC number one?
Yeah, I think so.
Because Nebraska came in like ranked 14th or something. Good, could have been a good Nebraska team. Had a lot to replace on defense. Should have been playing Joe Gans instead of Sam Keller. I'm going to throw my water cup at you. Anywho.
If I remember correctly, I think USC lost like a week or two later.
They had a Mike Riley.
Yeah.
To Mike Riley on a Thursday night to a gorgeous 2-2 Oregon State team. Yeah. Mike Riley could pull out like monster upsets in his career, but they'd go 9-4, never win 10 games. Or they'd go 3-9.
Yeah, I was going to say 4-8, maybe two.
There wasn't even a 6-6 or an 8-4 mixed in. It was 9-4 or 3-9. Feast or famine. This is not good. Major League Baseball is a mess. We know that. We hope things get figured out. But reality is this. The Phillies and Blue Jays are going to close their spring training facilities after a positive coronavirus test. I wish I had good news for you on a Friday with, hey, baseball's coming back, or, hey, we found a cure for the coronavirus, or it's instead of my faucet pouring water, it's pouring Templeton rye. I mean, I wish I had that type of good news for you. But no, you've got the Phillies and the Blue Jays saying, yeah, we're going to shut down our spring training facility. After you had a player exhibit symptoms, you had the Phillies facility going to remain closed until medical authorities are confident the virus is under control. So what you have here, the first confirmed case Tuesday, 8 staff members tested negative, while 20 players and 12 other staff members are awaiting their test results. So you've had a few staff people test positive. Got a couple players test positive. You got in the NFL. So what's going on? Are you getting the virus from travel? Are you maintaining social distancing and mask wearing? And I'm not here to arm wrestle you on whether you mask up or don't. Just be safe is all I really care about. Period. And be responsible. I wonder where we're at with that. Is it just a pure travel, or if folks put themselves, these players specifically, have they put themselves in danger by, okay, restrictions are eased, let's go out and throw some cocktails at a bar and not stay separate from one another?
This past week has concerned me in sports.
Are you on the verge, like maybe going, we're going to get this shut down again?
That's what I'm thinking. I had a baseball game this weekend. I was supposed to umpire get shut down. And
Southwest?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And baseball game got shut down because all their games got canceled because a couple guys within that program allegedly tested positive.
No, they
is it confirmed now?
I mean, yeah, you had, I mean, the Southwest kids are under quarantine. I don't know how many have tested positive, but yeah, you got an issue. And I mean, I hope they're getting healthy and recuperating, clearly.
It's concerning because, like, we don't even know if these things are spread through the physical activity or if it's they're doing stuff off the field. And it's
are you hanging out with a bunch of people and someone was hanging out with somebody else, and bang, you have it.
And the thing is to have sports, we need the athletes and the fans and everyone to be responsible. And if we're showing that as a country, we can't be responsible to bring sports back, it's majorly concerning to me.
I don't think the SEC gives a damn.
Oh, no.
They're going to say, hip, we're going to open up the stadiums, and there we go. Although there was some comments by LSU's athletic director a little earlier. You have Scott Woodward telling ESPN that they are going to require fans to wear masks to Tiger Stadium this fall. He was asked, hey, athletic director Woodward, are you going to require fans? Paul Feinbaum was asking him that. And are you going to make fans wear masks? And the AD is like, well, it's definitely in play. So it's not like they're saying, well, no, they are going to listen to medical experts for guidance. But what medical expert are you going to listen to?
More locally, I know the University of Nebraska yesterday announced that all students and staff that are in campus buildings this fall are going to have to be wearing masks, too. So
No, and that was announced yesterday. And listen, if you're dining like at a residence hall or you're on campus, you can eat as long as you're 6 feet apart. Mm-hmm. And take your mask off.
But, I mean, if it's already coming to the campus and the students, you're going to think that you're going to have to wear a mask if you want to make it into a football game this fall.
Well, guess what? You can slap a red N on one, and it may be cold and callous to sell them. But, hey, maybe you could.
Hey, on the bright side, if we wear those masks later in the season and it gets cold outside, it's actually going to keep you a little warmer, I think.
Hmm?
If you're wearing the masks later in the season, on the bright side of wearing the mask to game, it might keep you a little bit warmer. Can you get like some insulated masks maybe that are also safe?
You can do a lot of different things.
You always got to look on the bright side here.
Got to work on it. You have a meeting scheduled here in about an hour with UCLA's brass and Chip Kelly. So the UCLA folks are going to sit down with Chip Kelly. They're going to figure out what's going on. Why do your players hate you? Maybe that's a strong statement, but they don't want to play ball for him. Just a kind of a bombshell demand list with 30 UCLA players and the LA Times. We'll spend some more time with that. Bill Dolman's thoughts. Good news for Nebraska. Elijah Wood is a commit for the 2020 class. He's a former four-star guard. Jacob Padilla will have the breakdown on him as Nebraska lost a really talented kid earlier today from, you know, what was supposed to be a... Kobe King was supposed to be a guy you plug in and he was going to do wonders for you because of his experience and his ability. But you got a guy that's got some game in Elijah Wood coming in. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Find us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at Herbal Essence on Twitter, and can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. So we'll wind down this first hour. Bill Dolman, Jacob Padilla, Dean Blevins on, you know, does Gundy survive this weekend? Hail Varsity winds down hour one next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, Bill Dolman, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports, going to be with us. Jacob Padilla on a loss and a gain for Nebraska basketball. And then Dean Blevins down in Oklahoma City. Reminder about drinking and driving. One out of three fatal crashes involves an impaired driver. Driving drunk, buzzed, or high, never acceptable. Law enforcement officers working around the clock to stop with sobriety checkpoints and saturation patrols. As a driver, make that correct choice of a non-alcoholic drink or have a pre-selected designated driver. Be smart. Start the conversation. Who's Driving Home? Brought to you by the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. So this was the news early this morning that ticked off a lot of baseball fans on social media, and I don't blame you. You have Rob Manfred rejecting the Major League Baseball Players Association's proposed 70-game regular season schedule. I don't get that, man. You say, hey, let's get together. Let's fly to Arizona. Tony Clark, you and me, let's have a drink. Let's sit down. Let's knock out a schedule. And yeah, I'm rejecting it. So here's what MLB's proposal, the PA's proposals were. 70-game season, July 19th through September 30th. Full prorated pay. Expanded playoffs to 16 teams in 2020 and 2021. A minimum pool for playoff shares in 2020 based on rounds played. $50 million in full playoff is staged. And then a 50-50 split of incremental TV revenue for any additional postseason games in 2021. So a salary advance forgiveness for all players in Tier 1 to Tier 3. Opt-outs, full service, and salary for players who are high risk and those who live with high risk individuals. $10 million for social justice initiatives funded from the welfare plan, and $50 million to be transferred from joint funds to the commissioner's discretionary fund. Also, clubs granted permission to sell advertisement and patches on uniforms in 2020-2021. Enhanced housing allowances for spring training and regular season. Universal designated hitter in 2020 and 2021. And parties to collaborate on broadcast enhancements, i.e. Mike and me up. And then mutual waiver of potential grievances under the March agreement. That seems like a damn good list. Now, there's about 80 of them on there that the owners are like, no.
The really interesting one to me is a universal DH.
I love that.
It's about time the MLB figures it out and gets both leagues doing the same thing. I don't think that the AL's ever going to go back to having their pitchers hit. So I think the NL's just got to get with the times and have a DH.
God, I keep screwing the guy's name up. He used to pitch for the Mets. He's super fat.
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah. The only guy I want to see bat ever that's a pitcher is Bartolo.
Yeah.
Because he swings out of his husky size uniform and sometimes he'll hit a home run. Bartolo's just a pure joy to watch bat. I know he's like retired now, isn't he? Or is he still throwing the old Crisco ball up there?
That's a good question. I watched that video of him hitting that home run in San Diego at least once a year.
I just love the Twitter gifs of Bartolo Colon at the batter's box where he swings and his helmet pops off.
Okay, but the thing is without a universal DH, I feel like the AL's at a disadvantage every single World Series.
You're screwed.
They go play.
Yeah. When you're on the road and you're playing in Candlestick or wherever, and you got to trot out, name your pitcher that's a great Cy Young dude, but he can't bat, and you got two on and two out, it's not the answer. Bill Dolman's on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Hour 2 on a Friday, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. More on Elijah Wood, the newest member of Nebraska basketball. Jacob Padilla will have thoughts on him and the loss of Kobe King. Let's head out west and check in with the Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports' Bill Dolman, Mattress King. At MD, that's almost Mike Babcock's Twitter I threw out there. It's at Bill Dolman on Twitter, but Dolman and Babbers worked together for a long time. Billy D, how are you, sir?
Well, I wish everybody a very happy fall because that's what it feels like out here in Colorado with the temperature in the 40s and 50s in the morning and kind of gray skies. It'd be perfect for college football weather out here if anybody cared about it.
You know, I hope we get to talk college football weather. You've got an announcement here that 28 athletes at Clemson have tested positive for COVID-19. You've gotten a number of kids at K-State that have tested positive. Some Texas kids, Oklahoma State. We'll get into their whole week with Gundy in a moment. But Bill, are you nervous? Are you teetering here on fall sports? Baseball is going to blow their own foot off, so it won't matter. They've been doing that. But I'm talking NFL and college football. Are you fearful that we may not get to it?
I think that they will do whatever they can to get the football season underway. The question for me is, will that, and maybe not will that, how will that include the Division IIs, the Division IIIs, the more regional and smaller colleges? If you're going to have major college football and the NFL, then how do you also have, you know, those schools, you know, participate and travel and do all that they need to do? You know, the thing that's different about football is it's the money, and it's not just the money within those sports. It's the money that is tied to it for all of the other things like, television primetime programming and, Sunday Night Football is the best show on television. It's the most lucrative, and it's, you know, paramount to NBC's, you know, week-long television schedule and marketing and advertising and budgets and all of those kinds of things. It's similar to a certain extent to the Olympics, which, you know, as somebody who, you know, does a lot of stuff for NBC, the Olympics are incredibly important for NBC because of what it presents for its entire programming schedule. And I think the story came out like two or three, maybe a month ago, about, you know, college football. They measured it at least $4 billion. And, you know, that's just college football. The NFL, I mean, there's just a lot tied in to those, 5 months. And I have a hard time believing that they're not going to try to get it to go. I mean, basketball's already lost. Baseball, what real baseball needs to do is just stop talking and just not play, because it is getting worse and worse by the moment. And I don't see how you can come back. I mean, they were off to a bad start anyway, because you have an organization that flat out cheated to win the World Series, and another one that cheated to win. So that's what baseball was heading into this year. And now you're getting into a labor dispute. And it always seems like they're coming together and they've got a plan in place. And then you read an hour later that that's been rejected. And they say, well, they're so close. But then when you read a little closer or a little deeper as to how close they are, you realize it's not just talking about how many games and prorating salaries for players. There's like 10 other items. You know, that basically they're having a union, you know, labor dispute, you know, in addition to what's going on. I'm serious. I think baseball needs to just stop talking, not play, and just hope that at some point down the road in history, they're just going to say they didn't play because there was a pandemic and they thought would be best, and hope that people will forget the damage that they continue to do to the game.
20 years later.
Seriously. I mean, nobody really remembers what, you know, in 1994, what they had a strike, but really what it was all about.
I remember that Tony Gwynn was going to hit 400, Griffey was going to go for 61, so was Matt Williams, and the Expos were going to win a World Series. I remember that, and I'm still pissed about 94.
But you don't necessarily go back and remember all of the reasons why there was the strike. There was just a strike. So I think baseball just needs to just stop and hope that, you know, 20 years from now, that all people think is, oh, yeah, they didn't play that year because everybody was sick.
Bill Dolman's
Seriously, it is a disaster. And I think the NBA just needs to give everybody a ribbon, and you're all winners. Remember that episode in Seinfeld where they watched the marathon go by and the gal on the balcony said, you're all winners?
Yeah.
And I think that's what they need to do for the NBA, because putting 40 people from all of the teams in a Disney World and say, be nice for 60 days. I that's a lifestyle. The NBA is a lifestyle. And I have a hard time believing that they're going to be able to get on the same page for that. And there are also, you know, 9 or 10 items that go a little deeper into whatever plan that they're going to have into place. And, you know, it is social, it is political, it is cultural, as well as, you know, the games themselves and whatever their schedule is, doesn't really make a whole hell of a lot of sense. And I don't think it's going to be all that enticing for people to necessarily watch those games at Disney World with, you know, friends and family in the stands. I just, And how meaningful is it going to be to hoist the trophy in the NBA and even in Major League Baseball if they have playoffs? I think they just need to call it good.
Bill Dolman's with us, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. Bill, you spent a lot of years at the athletic department, Nebraska Athletics, forcing to cut 10% of their staff and recalibrate their budget. They've got to shave 10% of their budget as well. And we're talking millions and millions of dollars. And this is an athletic department that's been self-sufficient for decades, is still self-sufficient. The shortfall with the universities, almost $45 million. The athletic department, you just don't know how bad revenue is going to be for the fiscal year when July 1st hits, because we don't fully know what's going to change with this college football and basketball season for 2021. What's your reaction to that? I mean, it's not a good topic. There's not a great answer, but I know you're still in contact and close with folks that are down at the athletic department.
It's sad when the first thing you read, part of it is going to be personnel cuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's very disheartening. You would hope maybe they would be able to go to people and say, hey, can you spare a couple of bucks off your salary?
Sure.
I know Fred Hoiberg and Scott Frost are giving money back to the athletic department, and that's a wonderful gesture on their part. But it does sound like other people are going to be, having to look for a job. And I've gone through that a couple of times in the last 10 years myself, so I know how difficult that is. So that's disheartening. It has always amazed me that Nebraska, and I don't think the Nebraska Athletic Department has ever gotten enough credit around the country, that it has been able to be, self-sufficient. And not only that, but it has given back. I mean, I think the university library system, for the most part, was, funded by the athletic department, which was always pretty remarkable, given our population, where we are, and the perception of, Nebraska. But here we are with an athletic department that does pay its own bills and pays the bills for the university, in addition to being, its front porch. And I think, Nebraska athletics have always done that very admirably. And I'm, I don't know if the university is going to be able to make money off the athletic department this year, or if they're going to have to dip a little more into state funds, or whatever the case is going to be. I go back to a little bit bigger picture here, and I understand they're going to be cutting money. I still look at, the 10 years of the 10 years ago and the decision for Nebraska to be in the Big Ten Conference, right now looks really good, fiscally, because 10 years ago there was a lot of uncertainty as to where Nebraska was going to be, what was going to happen with the Big 12, and there really hasn't been much clarity in the Big 12 TV pictures for the most part over the last decade. But Nebraska, despite its struggles on the field at times in football, in terms of the business decision that was made 10 years ago, engineered by Tom Osborne, it has provided Nebraska a great deal of stability and financial resource right now that it did not have 10 years ago. And I'm not sure everybody in the Big 12 right now is feeling, all that confident as to where they are, what kind of footing they're on right now. So being in the Big Ten, right now, if you're Nebraska, you got to go, that was a great move.
Especially
given,
in today's climate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bill,
given where we are.
Bill, I think one of the biggest aspects of the Nebraska budget is still the Husker football season. They kind of need to get that in the 2020-2021 season to reach the budget that they're expecting to get. But with the news of COVID in the past week, I mean, Nick Watney withdrew from the PGA Tour today from RBC Heritage after testing positive for COVID after playing in the first round. 23 players tested positive at Clemson for COVID today. That news broke about 20 minutes ago. Are you still feeling confident that we can have a full 2020 college football season?
Yes. Now, it may have to be amended. It may have to be altered. It may have to be pushed back. But, those are alarming numbers, and it's alarming news. But like, when you look at the big picture based on, what you hear about people who attract, who get it, it is still a relatively low percentage of people who have serious, there are serious implications and unfortunately death. And unfortunately, most of the people who are it's fatal, are people who are north of 65 or north of 75. You don't hear a lot about, you know, healthy young people. And I don't mean to diminish this, but, you know, the facts are facts. That, you know, younger people may get it, but survive. And you certainly hope nobody gets it. And, you know, maybe more precautions need to be made in terms of what medications you take, you know, in the atmosphere that you find yourself in. So I still think that it could happen. And I think that the powers that be will make the best decisions. But it's awful. It'd be very hard for, I think, this country to go through just culturally, emotionally, without, you know, one of the most important things that we have. And that, you know, it's sports and it's football. But let's face it, I think we're finding out how important sports are to our culture.
Bill,
emotionally.
It is. Bill Dolman's with us, NBC Sports, Hale Varsity Radio. Bill, a thought here about 2.5 minutes. The week that Mike Gundy has had, we're going to talk with Dean Blevins in 20 minutes, get his perspective from down near Stillwater. Have you had much interaction with Gundy? I know you've covered the Big 12 a lot, but, I mean, just from afar or media days. I mean, what's your take on him? Can he keep his job?
I would imagine he probably can, and maybe that's because he's,
he wins.
I mean this geographically because of the state he's in. I think Oklahoma may have a different outlook and different perspective. Now, you know, certainly they reacted very quickly with the controversy that came up, but you know there may be more understanding of Coach Gundy and OSU in Oklahoma than say if you are in a state that may lean much harder to the left. You know, in California, it's interesting what's happening with UCLA. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got players who are demanding certain things before they are going to go back onto campus. And, you know, I don't know. I just have a feeling that there may be a little more, I don't want to say common sense, but that may not be the right term, but there may be a little more honesty on both sides as to how to approach the situation as opposed to reacting too quickly.
Last thought here with UCLA. This is a mess, and it sounds like a fourth of the team just flat out don't trust Chip Kelly, Bill, for the Bruins.
Yeah, I find that, well, I'm not sure it's not necessarily just Chip Kelly. I'm not sure that they trust the school as a whole. And maybe that is because of, you know, the culture that they find themselves out in California. It's California's situation, New York's situation, New Jersey. They've all been kind of in the same conversation about their approach to the pandemic. And maybe the players are looking at, you can be on a beach, but you can't be on the dry part. You got to be on the wet part. And just the whole approach, I think there's a lot of confusion as to, you know, just what is true, what is okay, and what can we do. And maybe the players are reacting to that because they really don't know what to believe. And maybe at a place like Nebraska where, you know, it's not a huge population. Everybody, you know, pretty much hears the same message. Maybe it's a little bit easier for everybody to get on page. But out in California, you know, the policies have been kind of all over the place. And UCLA players right now want to say, well, what are we supposed to believe here? And who are we supposed to believe? And maybe that is a reflection of Chip Kelly.
Bill Dolman with us, Pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports. Billy D, happy Father's Day this weekend, dude. And we'll get caught up next Friday. Thanks for a few minutes today. Great to chat with you.
And happy Father's Day to everybody out there. Go Big Red. And maybe one day you'll get your kid to wear red instead of green.
maybe, Bill. Maybe Uncle Bill's going to have that talk with him. I'll throw my hands up. Take care, partner. Thank you.
See ya.
Parting shot. Schmidt's kid wears green.
And now,
back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Busy Friday for Husker Hoops. We say hi to Jacob Padilla, Nebraska basketball insider with HaleVarsity.com and magazine at Jacob Padilla _. Jacob, do you expect the amount of news you got today?
No, I did not. I was thinking it would just be another normal
Friday. Maybe get some kind of news dump later in the day, but they've been going all day today.
It has. Let's start off with Kobe King. Your reaction, any insight as to why he has parted ways with Nebraska?
Yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot there. I think it was pretty surprising. I don't think Nebraska necessarily expected it. I know he was the only guy that's actually in the country that isn't back on campus yet. So it just seems like I read a story from back up in Wisconsin. His high school coach didn't want to go into specifics, but just said that he has a lot of things he's working through right now. And Fred Hoiberg did mention personal reasons for why he wouldn't be attending Nebraska. So it just seems like King's working through some things right now and wasn't ready to come down to Lincoln.
You know, and that can mean a lot of different things. To your knowledge, if guy, like, look at Thor and look at Ivan, okay? They had to, they went home, right? So were they able to do online coursework? I would assume so they remain eligible. And I just wonder from King's standpoint, you know, where he was at, because this had to be, not just for him, but just the whole pandemic thing in general has got to be, it's frustrating. It's frustrating you can't be here. And from an X's and O's standpoint, I mean, what were your expectations for King to come in and do? I mean, he was pretty vital to what Fred wanted to do offensively, wasn't he?
Yeah, it was going to be really interesting. I wasn't a guy that was ever blown away by Kobe King, but that being said, he was a guy that has started a lot of games and played a lot of games in the Big Ten. And Nebraska didn't have any guys like that last year, and we saw what happened. So just kind of the stability that he could bring, kind of the different dynamic of kind of a big physical guard that can post up and finish inside, that Fred Hoiberg likes to put to work in some of his actions. I think he would have been a real solid guy there. And now you look at it, the depth in the backcourt really takes a hit. I know, like, Fred Hoiberg was looking at Teddy Allen more as like a small forward with the strength to maybe slide down to the four in small ball lineups. Now you're looking at him as potentially a ball handler, depending on what happens with Trey McGowan's. Because right now you got Kobe Webster, you got Delano Banton as kind of like a jumbo point guard type. And then you're looking at guys like Teddy Allen as a ball handler, which I don't know if that's necessarily what Hoiberg had kind of planned out originally. So that kind of left a little bit of a hole there. And now I guess it did put more of a priority on getting Trey McGowan's that waiver to play right away. As the roster was, I personally thought that, and kind of knowing what McGowan's needs to work through, I personally thought that it might work best if he didn't get the waiver, and if he just sat out this year, you had King and Webster for that year as a grad transfer and kind of rolled with the guys and Banton playing big minutes, and then you could kind of develop McGowan's and bring him in as a point guard next year with Webster gone and work on that jumper and kind of get him ready to play in Fred Hoiberg's system. Now, if without King as that guy that you know can eat up 20, 30 minutes for you and will produce and be solid, now the backcourt's kind of more of a question mark. And obviously they answered that question a little bit here, which we'll get to in a second here, but still you're going from a guy that started 19 games, including 9 games in the Big Ten last year and led Wisconsin in scoring in those games, and to potentially a high school kid coming in.
That high school kid, and it wasn't a lot of lag by Nebraska. Elijah Wood is in for the Big Red to pretty much take Kobe King's place, and he's going to be reclassified as a 2020 player for the Big Red. Was set to go to Hargrave Military Academy. Ole Miss and Florida and Providence were in on him originally. You looked at Rhode Island and Tulane. Seen a little bit of work from Wood and in his film, very explosive, graceful, but high school to now Big Ten play. What is an expectation for Wood? What do you like about his game, and what do you know? I know he's 6'6". What do you think translates for him for Nebraska and Fred?
Yeah, he's an interesting player. I hadn't looked a lot into him before, obviously, because he was planning on doing a post-grad year and wasn't really on the radar for committing to his school, including Nebraska, right now. But then that roster spot opened up, and Nebraska worked quickly. It was about 5 hours from the time when Fred Hoiberg sent out that statement on King to when Wood announced his commitment on Twitter. So staff worked quickly here. I guess got the job done before the close of business on Friday, and now can go enjoy their weekend. But he's interesting, as I haven't seen a ton, and some of the film I am seeing is kind of some older stuff. So I don't necessarily have numbers from this past season or whatever right now that I've been able to find, but he's a guy that seems kind of like a stat sheet stuffer type. You mentioned 6'6", point guard. He's got good vision. He's long. He's pretty skinny. He's going to definitely have to get to work in the weight room to hold his own in the Big Ten, but there's a lot of skills to like there. He's got the length and size to kind of play guard twos and threes if he does add that weight, but he's got the skill set to play the point guard if he needs to. So he does kind of fit in with that backcourt with Nebraska, where Kobe Webster is 6 foot, but he shoots well enough to play off the ball. You got Delano Banton as kind of a 6'8 Swiss Army knife that can defend on the wing and make plays inside, but can also handle the ball and run your offense for you. And then McGowan's the guy that could play the one or the two. So they get a lot of versatility in that backcourt recently, and Wood is a guy that kind of fits right in with that.
Jacob, looking at Elijah Wood, he was a guy who was committed to Rhode Island up until the end of April and then decided to go to Hargrave Military Academy instead. Do we know what led to him decommitting from the Rams that late and then going off to Military Academy prep school for a year?
Yeah, no, I haven't seen it, because he was committed to Rhode Island for a year or so. He committed back in May of 2019 and then signed with them in November and then decommitted. So I don't know if it's just he decided, you know what, if he wanted to spend that year of prep school to see what his options would, because obviously he had plenty of he had offers from almost every high major conference, but I don't know quite what his recruitment was like with those schools, what kind of a priority he was for them. So maybe he was just trying to give himself a better chance, spend that post-grad year to maybe end up in a higher level program than maybe the ones that were kind of making him feel wanted at the moment. Maybe that was just that he just like, all right, you know what, I want to bet on myself to get even better offers than I've got right now. So I haven't gotten a chance to talk to him, so I don't know what exactly that was like yet, but it's worked out so far. I mean, by decommitting, he kind of left himself out there, and now the opportunity at Nebraska presented itself, and he was able to jump on top of it.
Jacob Bedill is with us, HailVarsity.com and Magazine Basketball Insider, does great work on volleyball and, of course, is locked in for football as well. Jacob, I know Hoiberg's a guy that is done his work in college with transfers. That said, the incident with King, you know, you had him, I'm going to say the ink was drying of him to be a major part of your, you know, your guard lineup and probably start, right? And boom, this happens in June, right? The scholarship, the exodus, 14 Nebraska basketball guys have come and gone since Tim Miles' departure. Does that concern you, or is that just the way things are going to be with Coach Hoiberg? Or do you think you find some gray area where you'll always have some turnover, but it won't be this much?
Yeah, I think that's the goal, to where they're hoping to get it to where they don't flip almost the entire roster every year. But, I mean, the staff, they've made it clear that they're going to keep recruiting. They're going to try to get the best talent that they can get here. And hopefully moving forward, some of that, like we saw with Iowa State, you had part of that turnover was you had an early draft entry in Royce White, who was a one and done in the program after redshirting that year, coming over from Minnesota. So you're hoping to be able to mix in guys like that with high school guys like George Niang and Monte Morris with some of those other grad transfer types or 1 or 2 year transfer types. Because Fred Hoiberg and the staff have shown they're willing to take advantage of every avenue possible for them to add talent to their roster, and they're not going to stop recruiting. So it's going to be on those guys that are in the program now to prove to the coaches, hey, you're not going to be able to out-recruit me. Like I'm solid here. I'm a really good player for you. I'm going to be able to produce, so you're not going to be able to get anybody better than me. And I think that's kind of the tack they're chosen. They're like, hey, show us you belong here. We recruited you here for a reason, and show and prove us right. So I think we're definitely going to continue to see some of this, but hopefully it'll settle down a little bit. Because we even saw, not just the transfers, we saw it with last year, Samari Curtis was part of that high school class, and he was gone 8 games into the season or whatever it was. So it's not just that transfers are more likely to come and go quickly. It's just kind of the nature of the game right now, no matter where the players are coming from.
Jacob, I've got a minute. What do you expect from Banton? I mean, I know he had to sit out, but he's 6'8", man, that point forward opportunity. Can his game really elevate this team next season?
It's going to need to. Hopefully that he put that redshirt year to good use, because he's a guy that he needed to get stronger. He needed to develop the jump shot a little bit more. He's a guy that showed a lot at Western Kentucky but wasn't consistently productive as a young kid. So now he's got a year in the weight room, a year on the practice court. He's got to come out and be a consistent playmaker. And now losing a guy like King, that puts even more of an emphasis on Banton to be a primary initiator, a guy that can go run the offense for you, a guy that can handle the ball. No matter where you have him defensively, you want him out there making plays for you. And that'll lessen, I think, some of the pressure on a guy like Kobe Webster making that transition from the Summit League to the Big Ten. So he's got to be one of your better players, I think, for this team to really click. Is he ready for that? We won't know until he gets out there, but I think the coaches are really high on him, and they believe he can be that kind of player.
It's Jacob Bedilla. He'll have great stuff on Husker Hoops today, all the news, HailVarsity.com, at Jacob Bedilla _. Jacob, have a good weekend. Thanks for a few.
Yep, thanks for having me.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's head down to Oklahoma. News 9 and the Sports Animal, Sportscaster of the Year multiple times. We say hi to former Sooner Dean Blevins with us, at Dean Blevins. It's where you find him on Twitter. Dean, how's your Friday?
Things are good, Chris. Things are good. I'm not having to work except hopping on our statewide radio here about 5 o'clock, and usually that's a whole lot of fun, but here recently, it's been work.
It's been work.
Talking about the things we talk about. So,
no, I bet.
Otherwise, things are good.
That's awesome to hear. You guys are healthy and safe and excited to spend a few minutes with you. And what a week it's been for those in Stillwater. There's been reaction all over the college football world with Mike Gundy, his T-shirt, his players' response, former Buff great and NFL veteran sounding off. How have you kind of processed everything in Stillwater with Coach Gundy, Dean?
Well, there have been, you know, different issues brought up, different layers to it. And, you know, it's all really sped up and taken on a whole new level of consternation and seriousness with the allegations from Alfred Williams, the Hall of Fame player from Colorado, and some of his teammates who were quoted back in 1989 after they beat the Cowboys in Stillwater, allegations of Gundy using the N-word not just once or twice, but as their safety is quoted as saying in that story, too many times for him to count. So when all this news came out, it's taken it to another level. It's an extremely sensitive situation. You've got race, you've got politics, you've got accusations, and you've got a $5 million man here who is bold, confident, opinionated. I think we can say that. It can say loud.
Mm-hmm.
And what he has going for him, he doesn't have a whole lot of things going for him right now. One thing he does have going for him, he's the winningest coach, and they do not want to lose him. Maybe especially right now, if you'll remember, Chris, Oklahoma State basketball slapped with they're appealing it, but a 3-year probation that is really strong. And so now the possibility of firing Mike Gundy, really big deal. Really big deal.
It is, and I just kind of look at Gundy's history. I mean, 15 years there, he's taken the Cowboys to heights that I don't remember being at since the Pat Jones era and even some Jimmy Johnson years with, I mean, just great, great players. Gundy's been able to recruit that, and I look at Chuba Hubbard. I know he's a kid out of Canada, but that kid's phenomenal. And I thought the meeting and the response by Hubbard and Gundy after they talked it out was, it seemed like things were okay, but you're right. The Alfred Williams in 1989 game between Colorado is a whole new level of things. And Gundy's apologized multiple times this week, even went on ESPN, calling himself a dumbass a couple of times. And, you know, he is opinionated. He is political, but he's always been kind of loud. Is this as thin as the ice has been for him?
Oh, no question. No question. His ability to win and his popularity, mostly because of that, but people have really bought into the charisma that some believe is there that you might see on television. Others would frame it another way, and especially right now, but mainly because of winning, and he was a terrific quarterback for them. But, you know, it's one thing to wear a T-shirt, which mostly the black athletes were so offended that, Chuba Hubbard comes out and says, I'm not doing anything. Basically, I'm boycotting if there's not change. And so Gundy wisely, immediately got with Chuba, got with their star linebacker, and tried to win them over and won them over enough to have that staged first conversation public taping that Chuba really didn't buy into, where there was an apology. Well, there really wasn't an apology on Mike Gundy's part. There was on Chuba's part. So there wasn't really the buy-in from the players. And then it came back where it got bigger. They required more. So Gundy goes out with him again. The bottom line is, with these new accusations, it has this thing on a 10 scale, it's an 11. Mm-hmm. Because the accusations are coming from a man who is credible and who has, as he said, Alfred Williams, who's a radio guy up in Denver now, he said, hey, I want an apology. And if I don't get it or he denies it, I've got 20 teammates who heard it and these other people. So there's some validity to that. So what happens at the end of the day? Gundy's got two options. He either ignores the allegations of the N-word, and if you do that, you're admitting guilt. What are the players going to think? What are the recruits going to think? Mm. The other option is he disputes. He disputes the thing, and he says he's got 20 other people to back it up, or he says, I did that, but that was when I was 21 years old, which in most cases, that would be fine, but I don't think right now it is fine because of the racial turbulence at such an infernal level right now. Gundy hasn't had former players, former coaches, anyone come back of record and go on record as saying, "Hey, I know a different guy." Yeah, if you do that, that takes some cojones to do that, but he's not had anyone do that. And so now you've got these players who are questionable now. I don't think they were bought in with these conversations he's had, but they were going to move forward. But now these new allegations come forward, and this thing isn't going to go away.
Dean,
it's not going to go away. The guy, Williams will be asked about this continually, and if this thing is just ignored, which I know the AD and the athletic and the president won't do, if it's ignored, then Williams will continue to be brought up every time a TV game goes on. And real quickly, I know I've just gone on.
No, you're fine. Thanks for the info.
I will throw in one more important fact. Gundy's personality is people either love him or some don't. Mm. Some hate him. He has a horrible relationship with athletic director Mike Holder, who is controversial in his own right. But it's the worst relationship you can imagine. It's toxic. It's cancerous. They don't speak. And so now there's a president involved, and they came out and been pretty bold. That was before the N-word stuff came up. So as you can sense, it's a really big deal. Really big deal. He's going to have to really scramble, in my opinion, to save his job.
Dean, 30 seconds. What's, from your vantage point, what's the culture been like at Oklahoma State? I mean, he's gotten great players, and I've never heard anything negative about Gundy. His personality aside, I'm saying guys play for him.
Yeah, they do. He's won games, and I'm really surprised that we haven't heard some people come out and support him more. Sam Mays is a former All-American. Now he's a radio guy in Oklahoma City, and he's gone on record as saying, hey, when I was coached by him, he would say, get your black ass back here and get in the huddle. Mm. Things like that don't help. So I'm sure Mike has a lot of supporters, a lot of money people behind him, but it's an avalanche on the other side. And in these days, in these times we're living in, it is no better than a toss-up, in my opinion, that Mike Gundy keeps his job.
Dean Blevins, News 9, Sports Animal down in Oklahoma City. Dean, thanks for a few minutes today.
You bet. I hope we talk about something a little better next time.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, enjoy Father's Day weekend. Celebrate with Dad, Grandpa, those loved ones you can. Do it safely and responsibly. You know this. But have a good Father's Day. I mean that, 1,000%. Reminder about moving, and West Blue Realty can help you do that. Home sales around Lincoln and surrounding communities, they can make a move for you smooth in 2020. When you mention Hail Varsity, West Blue Realty can provide up to $1,000 on the closing of your next home purchase. Give Tom Luby a shout at 402-540-3768 or Kelly Hofschneider. Kelly can help at 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue Realty. WestBlueRealty.com, 1120 K Street, Suite 200. Okay, Elijah, you like to grill.
That I do.
So what is your butcher name?
What do you mean?
Well, I've got a list here of different types of meat that you can use and are related to your first letter in your first name. So A is for Angus, B is for strips, C is for rounds, okay? So for you, letter E is slices.
Oh.
Your birth month. When were you born?
March.
So that's, oh my God. So you are Slices Chopsworth Jr. That is your butcher name.
I kind of like that, actually.
Mine is Rounds Burgermeister.
That's even better than mine.
I don't think so.
Oh, Burgermeister?
So we got to do this. What would your porn name be? So what's your middle name?
Paul.
Paul. What street were you born on?
That's a good question, actually. We moved around a lot when I was a kid. I believe Northwest 4th, which doesn't work as good.
No,
you know?
No.
But the first house I remember was Gabrielle.
So you're Paul Gabrielle. All right. So you got to go middle name and then street you were born on. So I'm James Tipperary.
James Tipperary.
Uh-huh.
That sounds like a fancy, high class.
They flew me over from the south of France.
Okay, back to the butcher thing, though. My roommate is actually, like, he works in the meat department. Have you gone over
yeah,
this?
Yeah, give me his first initial.
D.
Okay, so it's Vito.
Vito, and then he was born in November.
Okay, so... He is Vito O'Cleaver.
That's a good one. These are all
Vito O'Cleaver.
I'll have to get him to go change his name tag at Hy-Vee.
That'd be funny.
Vito O'Cleaver.
All right. We're going to go with my dad here for Father's Day. So he's going to be Porkland. Porkland. Beefington.
And then you got the pork in the first and the beef in the second.
Porkland Beefington.
I'm not sure if that one works as well.
Got to go with my brother here. We'll go D for Donk, Vito. So Vito McGee.
Now that just sounds like a porn star name.
It does. Vito McGee. Hey, it's Uncle Vito. It's Uncle Vito. All right, what do you got going this weekend?
Kind of depends on the weather.
Baseball supposed, both of us.
Supposed to be umpiring. I think I'm going to spend Saturday night with my dad instead of Sunday for Father's Day.
Good for you.
Get it out of the way a little early, and then looks like there might be better weather Sunday, which would get me out umpiring.
Good enough. Best of edition, Hail Varsity weekend tomorrow morning. Ron Brown, Mike Leach, Schweitzer, the new recruit. And have a great Father's Day. Spend time with Dad and Grandpa. Enjoy if you can. Talk to you on Monday with Hail Varsity. Thanks.